I realized that. Did you? I was thinking about God's favor. If this is not the right scripture, we'll just take it right back down. No, that's not it. But anyhow, it talks about God's favor, and I looked the scripture up, but it wasn't in my message. But it says those that trust in the Lord are favored of the Lord. And we're favored. We're highly favored of God because we trust God. And favor does a lot of stuff. Now, favor, there's even plans of the enemy that is coming our way, and it don't get to us, you know, because of the favor of God on our lives. I believe we'll get to heaven, and we'll see a lot of stuff that, because we trusted the Lord, didn't hit us. It didn't get to us. And there's a scripture that says that the heathen will get it instead of us, you know. That's the favor of God. But I was thinking about today, I went home, I usually go home on Sundays after church, and when I preach a message like I did, usually it's not that I don't feel good, you know, it's just that I don't even like to say the word correction, because when God's bringing stuff up to us, you know, that are hindering us or could hinder us, I enjoy preaching the sermons, but I'd rather be on prosperity and faith and all of that. So that kind of, you know, I have to do what the Lord says, but that kind of, I'll go home and I'll be like, oh man, I said that and I said that. And then I have to just focus in on the Lord, see, because your mind can be consumed over stuff like that. And so I just have to release my faith that I preach what God wants and His word don't return void and it brings fruit. Well, I usually go home and I've got a few that I'll listen to that I personally know, you know, and one of them is Chris Courtney down at Redeemed, you know, and I turned him on this morning, I mean that morning after church, you know, and I was just sitting there listening to him, and you know what he was preaching on? The children of Israel complaining. And I thought, man, I knew I had the right words, you know, this morning. You know, and it just brought confirmation. It brought peace and joy to me, really. You know, and I listened to it a little while, but I realized in my life, see, that story of the children of Israel and Exodus and all of that was life-changing to me when I got a full picture of what was going on in their life and brought it into my life, you know, that, you know, they were just living in the moment. They were just yielding to the moment. You know, they're complaining about whatever they're facing right then, you know, just complaining. I believe they just trained themselves. I believe they got in a mode and just, you know, wouldn't hear the word of God. I'm sure that Caleb and Joshua, you know, I'm sure voiced their voice all down through. Y'all stop complaining, you know. I saw the results in their lives. They didn't enter the promises. And they lived miserable the whole time. I mean, they live complaining makes me miserable. If everybody's like me, you know, and I'm just complaining, and it feels good for the moment, but it's not satisfying at all. It's just not satisfying at all. But when I'm in faith, I mean, when I turn the word on that, when I turn the word on that complaining, see, that's what Caleb and Joshua did, you know. And so when I started learning the word of God, that's one of the first things that God dealt with me with that I can really remember that really transformed my life was love, you know. And, I mean, begin to reveal scriptures to me through preaching, and then I started experiencing it. I started experiencing love, which I did when I got born again. I cried for 4 hours. 4 hours. I mean, I'm wet. My whole shirt and all, I'm at work and I'm crying, you know, but it's not a bad cry, you know, it was a cleansing taking place, but I mean, the whole 4 hours, I could see how that I had treated people and stuff after I got born again. Well, see, what happened is love came in, and that's one of the first things, and then I found out in God's word in Romans 5:5 that love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I don't have to pray for love. I don't have to ask God to increase love in me, you know, because He is love. And so once you begin to react out of that love, in you won't be a smart aleck anymore. But y'all quiet. Did I say that right? Yeah. It changes you. You know, I find that my walk with the Lord, most of the things that are changed about me for 30 years, the Word did it. The Holy Spirit did it by me yielding to Him. Just like Sandy talked about, you know, I mean, didn't realize doing a lot of complaints. It's very easy. I mean, I had two or three tractors down. I'm a busy man anyways, you know, and then I've turned water on up there because I've been pumping water out of a pond, and all of that's work after work, you know, different things. And so I carried my little Mini-X up there, and that thing started pouring oil, you know, because I was all excited. I'm going to dig that and put that in, man. Then all I got to do is walk up there. Whoo, yes, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I've been waiting, just putting it off for whatever, 3 or 5 years. Then all this stuff breaks down, my tractors to feed the cows and all of that. And you know, and then I'm down to having to go get my other tractor from another farm. And my brother needs that tractor over there and all of that. And I mean, I wanted to start complaining. I did, I really did. And then doors are ready and all that. And I'm like, I don't need them ready right now. I don't need them ready. I need to do all this other stuff, you know. But the Bible says in Isaiah 26, you got that, Beth? Put it up there. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Who is it that he will? Those whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah there is everlasting strength. I didn't know all that scripture, but God quickened it to me. I'd heard it preached, and that part there, those whose minds are stayed on the Lord and keep them in perfect peace, whose minds because they trust. And I started going to the jail. And I'd go at, well, I took that scripture and I thought, man, I'm not going to think on my past. I'm not going to think on, I just got saved, I wasn't saved very long. And I thought, I'm not going to think on how I was anymore. I'm changed, you know, and I'm not going to yield to that. You know, I'm not going to be that way anymore. What I was doing is putting God's Word first place and didn't even know it. See, when you decide to put God's Word first place and you're going to let that be finally, you'll have to renew your mind to the statement I just said. Because we can mentally say it, oh, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. No, I believe God. I believe in God. And then when something comes up, and then instead of grapes, you get prunes. No, you're not trusting God. No, you're not. No, I'm not. I've mentally assent to it. But now, you know, I've just seen this in Teresa's life, you know, and just out of the way people drive. How many of those people, if you're on the road a lot, people driving can steer you in a mode if you let it. They can steer you into some kind of thinking, fear, or whatever the case might be. That's all of us, you know. And I seen Teresa start working on something, and now we go, and people still doing that, and I just see calm. All changed was her. The drivers didn't change. The complaining stopped, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. And it, you know, we think sometimes we have a right to complain, but we really don't. We got a God, if we will keep our heart and mind stayed on Him, trusting in Him, He will give us strength that won't run out. He will strengthen us. And not only that, benefits start coming our way. Favor of God starts coming. All the incidences. I told Travis, some Christians, they think what I'm saying is not logical. Well, it's really not. Travis, one time, I mean, he's down there, a teenager, and he acts like he never did nothing, hot rodding, spinning across bridges and stuff. But I know better. I'm not dumb. You know, and all of that stuff. But I mean, every time he goes to the red light, somebody's revving up, wanting to race. And I told him one day, I mean, it's just, I'm hearing it all the time from him, just all the time. You know, and I told him, I said, that don't happen to me. And so I told him, I said, Satan's setting you up is what he's doing. I said, he's going to set you up. You're going to leave that red light and he's going to bust you. He's going to have a cop sitting there or something. I said, you're going to pay for it. I said, until you pass the test. You got to pass the test. And you know what? He started working on that. Does it ever happen to you like it used to? It stopped, didn't it? Pretty much stopped. Now I went and I pulled up the red light and there's a little guy over there. He's in his little Mustang and I thought, I'm gonna see if I can stir his flesh up, you know. So I just went, wah-bah! Because I've always had dual exhaust and all of that. My trucks are loud. I just went, wah-bah, wah-bah! He looks over at me and he says, I could hear his engine. I pulled it in drive and I'm like, I'm fixing to go. He thought I was going to bust it. And sure enough, boy, I did that red light change and he, boom, gone. And I just eased on up. And I thought that's how easy it is for Satan to work on flesh. You know, to get somebody stirred up, you know. And so when I'm having, if I see a reoccurring thing often in my life, I check it up on it. I check on it. I say, hey, why is this happening right here, blood God, you know. So I just don't let it roll. Why? Because I'm going to make sure that God's word is first place. You know, if you feel like you're under, some of y'all have been under a spiritual attack. I know it in my spirit. I don't have to ask you. But if I ask you, probably all of you would raise your hands up if you felt like, you know, that you had been attacked spiritually, you know. Well, I've got a Bible verse for that. It's in Ephesians 6. It says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It goes on down. It talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. It goes on and says, take the whole armor of God. And then it goes on down and it says, and above all, taking the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. Right? So if you feel like you're under spiritual attack, your faith has a lot of bearing in it. Taking the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, the word, which is the word of God, the Bible says. And so if you're under spiritual attack, don't just go around, oh, I wish Satan leave me alone. I wish he'd leave me alone. Now pull out your sword. I mean, let it start coming out of your mouth. No weapons formed. There's the word. Now you're putting the word first place over that you're sensing, you're feeling, your emotions and all of that, you know. Spiritual beings, demonic forces can, cause you to feel things in the flesh. They can cause you to, when their presence is there, because they're darkness. There's no light in them. They're just darkness. They're evil. They're, you know, and all of that. You know, and so you can feel things. You can pick up on things. When you walk in your house and you just get up not feeling good for no reason, you can't start yielding to those feelings and emotions. You know, get God's word. So if you feel like you're under a spiritual attack or something, you know, don't wait 3 weeks. Get up and fight. Get up and fight the good fight. I started praising God, and you know what? They got my part fixed on my little digger. I've got my tractor fixed. One of my tractors. Things begin to come together. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to let endurance have its perfect work according to James 1, that I'm entire and I don't lack nothing when I come out of this. So what are you doing when you do that? You are putting God's word first place and final authority over that. If there's things in your life that you don't like that you would really like changed, I got a scripture for it. I got a word for you. Jesus has already set you free on the cross. He said, it is finished. Right? I mean, it was sealed. And then in Romans over there, it said, Romans 8, I believe it is, it says, sin shall not have dominion over me. Okay, now, Whatever, I've used that scripture on a lot of stuff over 30 years, but I start saying out of my mouth, poverty does not have dominion over me. Darkness does not have dominion over me. Thank you, Lord. You're putting the word first place and final authority. I used to have a problem somewhat with pornography, you know. Not really just addicted to it, but you know, and so I started telling the Lord, pornography has no dominion over me anymore. And you know what? I don't watch pornography anymore. I used to believe that it enhanced our life a little bit, you know. And Satan's a liar, hallelujah. You know, and that's been years and years and years ago, and I do not. I will not. And you know, I mean, and the temptation still comes every now and then, have a thought or something. What does the Bible say? There, you have a word on that. 2 Corinthians 10, casting down thoughts, right? Those imaginations, those high things that comes against the Word of God, the knowledge of God, which is the Word of God. It says casting down those thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity to the Word, to Jesus. Hallelujah. See, and then you're not changing yourself. You're just being continually transformed by the Word of God. The Word of God continually, like Johnny, that he noticed that. I mean, here she is on up in age. You're not old. I'm not old. I'm only. So you're only. Right? We don't go around saying, I'm a. No, we're only. We're only passing through. The outward man does. I got your scripture for that. The outward man perishes day, but the inward man is renewed day by day. It says the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will quicken this mortal body, strengthen this mortal. He said it would be everlasting strength over there, didn't he? Hallelujah. So the Word of God, you know, I mean, I have come across a lot of things that I thought I couldn't do, you know, and I actually took the word can't out of my vocabulary and my thinking. Took me a year or two. And I replaced it with Philippians. That I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens. I can do garage doors. I can do cows and pasture and garage doors and be successful. I can. I can go help other people and do all of that. Why? Because he strengthens me. I took all the cane out and put an I can in. For years, people would say, I just can't sing. I would say, no, I got a scripture for you on the page. I got a scripture. You can do all things through Christ. There's no such thing as can't. Things I will not. I will not try. I'm just not willing, but get cane out. I just can't do it anymore. I can't work anymore. Nah, don't ever think that. Don't ever put God's word first place and final authority. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Right? Hallelujah. I took the word, you know, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. I did not like that word, to be honest with you, in the beginning. And I don't know too many women that really cares for the scripture where it says, wives, submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. Well, what would you call the Lord? Your arm or leg? Right? Your old man? Your old woman? Do it as unto the Lord, the Bible says, as you would be doing to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't really like that scripture, praise God, to be honest with you. Had all kinds of thoughts. Why? My mind was not renewed to the power that is in God's Word if I do it. And actually, I didn't get no deep revelation of it or meaning until I just had to make a choice to do it. God said do it, then I'm going to do it. And so I set out to do it, and I know personally it liberated me. It began to liberate me. It began to make me want her to have better than me. What that did, that took away that selfish nature, selfishness. By nature, we're selfish. You know, we get set in our ways, and if we're not careful when it's just about us, then when things get a little bit out of the ordinary, we start getting bent out of shape. See, but God sometimes lets things be out of the ordinary so we can be flexible. God wants the body of Christ flexible, because if he tells you he needs you in Columbus, Ohio, he don't need you to say, I was born and raised here. My whole family's here. My whole life is here. No, he needs you to say, glory to God, I'm going to make sure this is you, God, and I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. And God, whatever you want, you know what you're doing? You're putting God's word that he's speaking to you first place. And you're willing to move there. I'm sure he won't ever ask you. I'm just making an example there. Hallelujah. You know. But God's word has to be first place, just like this. The blessing of the Lord makes Scotty rich. Now, some people, they get upset with me because I say it that way. But you know what? I'm not going to let their upsetness decide what I believe. God's word said the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow. Not two jobs, three jobs. Not working where you can't serve him. You know, not just blessing you where you, no. It adds no sorrow. Well, you know, everybody in the body of Christ needs to have their mind renewed to that right there. And then however God wants to bring it into you, so be it. All you know is you're going to be wealthy. You're going to have more than enough. You're going to put super chunks in the kingdom of God. You're going to build the kingdom. Right? And people are kingdom. If God tells me to give somebody $500, you know, that's kingdom. I go give it, that's God. That's me saying, okay, God, what I have is yours, and you just command me, and that's fine, and I'll do it. See, now my mind back yonder, I was like, I ain't giving nobody my hard-earned money. I forget it. I work 45 hours this week, man. They would need $300. Let them get a job. That's after I got saved, you know. I'm thinking, my mind ain't renewed yet, see? See what I'm saying? And so then the scripture comes in there. I can tell you how to get money. Your Bible tells you. I just got it out there, and it does work. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall he cause men to give to your bosom, which means bilfo or wallet or purse. I had to renew my mind to that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then when God began to ask us to, you know, lay up some money through Scripture, we was reading in the Scripture, and we seen where Paul said, lay up before I get there. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. So that I won't be a burden to you when I get there. And so me and Teresa, we started putting up, I think, $5 a week. Whatever it was. For the evangelists when they come through. But God, we wanted to have more than a dollar to give. So we begin to put up some money every week, you know, pretty much. And then we had a little chunk when somebody would come through. Well, you know what? That's why we don't lack today. Because the Bible says, give and it shall be given. It don't say take and take and take. You know, gimme, 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 gimme. All about me, all about me. No, you got to be all about God. Because God is all about you. And God will cause his favor to come on you. My mom was on a fixed income. She started tithing to the Lord. What was she doing? She put God's word first place. She just put God's word first place before her and all of her understanding and all of that. And I mean, she's just thinking logically. I can't pay tithe. I'm not even making it now. Well, see, this kingdom's not built on logic. It's built on power and laws, spiritual laws. There's spiritual laws that when we become doers of the word that begin to work and bring favor into our lives. Hallelujah. You know, most people where I go now, you know, they're, I went and did, just got in with another, it's called Corbett Electric up in Abbotville up there. And the Bible says your gifts, I'm not going to tell you, say my gifts, because they're not mine, they're yours. Your gifts, your anointing, the presence of Jesus in your life, your gifts and callings, We'll take you before great men. I stood before a man that I'd just been talking to, this other guy that I was putting the door in before, and he was telling me about the guy, you know, and he said, I asked him, you're rich, ain't you? He said, look, man, he said, it takes 2 years for me to figure out how much I made this year. 2 years. I'm thinking, that's rich. Sound like Solomon's coming on the scene. and so then this guy walks up on the job, looks at that door, and he said, you do commercial? And I said, yeah, I do commercial. He said, I need you to go down yonder, you know. Well, that's favor. That is favor. That's the favor of God. I'm not in the presence of a broke man. I'm not in the presence of a broke company, you know. But I was down yonder on the bottom, when I had to get my little plan together and just, you know, believe God for one garage door, just one. Just one. Then be faithful in the small. Well, you know what? My mama, because she's put God's word first, I seen her prospering. I seen her, they called them meals on wheels or something, started happening in her life not too long after that. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, that was going to happen anyhow. I said, not for her. I said, God caused her to qualify. God caused her to. I'm not going to let anybody, you know, downgrade the word that I see happening in somebody else's life like it's just a coincidence. There ain't nothing a coincidence in our life. The Bible says our steps are ordained to the Lord, right? And when we're following Him, buddy, He's making our path straight. I mean, He's making it straight. It might not look straight. We might not understand why we're out here in the wilderness. We might not understand why it's taking this long to get there. We might not understand, but that promised land was there. And it was there for them, and it's here for us. And the promises of God, the Bible says, are in Him, yes and amen. And it's like, you know, I mean, we've been believing for a new church here. And I'm dreaming about it. I'm dreaming, you know, and I'm asking the Lord, God, you give me the vision on the inside. You tell me how to do it. You tell me what to do. And then I'm going to take what you tell me, and I'm going to run. That's what the Bible says for you to do. It don't have to be the church. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. And He'll direct your path, He says. Well, I told the Lord, I said, I got an idea, God. I said, man, we can just make it, tear this whole building down, have it gone in a couple of weeks, erect a brand new building and make it two-story back yonder and put the classes upstairs and let the sanctuary go on back. Two bathrooms and heating it. I told Him, I said, oh, this is going to be major, God. I said, I want heat and coolings that are perfect. No matter how hot it is out there, we're cool. No matter how cool it is, I'm being specific. No matter how cold it is out there, we're warm. Hallelujah. Why? I done been through all of these years of y'all freezing, and I can't do nothing about it. Y'all burning up. Now, some of you claim that menopause stuff and you have it. Now, there ain't no air conditioning going to help you. That's yours. I've seen Teresa say it for years. Menopause not coming to me. She ain't had it yet, and she ain't going to get it. They can say everybody got to get it. Not everybody. No. What does the Bible say? No plague. No plague will come. Psalms 91. I've had that scripture over me for years. Because there's all kind of plagues floating around out there. People got all kind of stuff, right? You know, and I've had that over my life. Why? I'm putting God's word first place, and if it's final authority, it ends up getting the fruit of that word. Whatever that word says, if is the fruit of it is going to bear out in the ones that plants it and nurtures it and develops it and exercises it. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's amazing to me that I go and I honor cops in my heart, policemen. I honor them, good or bad. Back yonder, they were pigs because they tore my trucks apart. They take my pot if they find it. You know, they all kind of stuff, you know. And so they was disrupting my life. I'm just trying to have fun is what I'm thinking, you know. And y'all were just messing everything up, man. What does it hurt if we party and smoke pot? We bought it. So I used to call them pigs. Had one this morning down there in store down there. Walked in there and he'd get me some breakfast. I said, "How you doing, sir?" He's younger than me, you know. "Oh, I'm doing good." I said, "That's good. Glad you are, you know." And I walked around, got my stuff, and I thought, used to, you know, he wouldn't get that kind of respect from me. I don't even know the dude, you know. But see, what happened is the Word of God, it says for us to honor those that are pray for those that are in authority. And when I started doing that, my heart began to change. And then I thought, man, I've been against the ones that's protecting me. You know, all the time I've been against the ones. That's what Satan does. He tries to get us against God. He tries to get us against, you know, confessing the Word and meditating on the Word. Hallelujah. Instead of meditating on the problems. Meditating on all of the. Well, just like the other day, we got a job to do, and they call these full view doors. They're full glass, heavy. You know, 16 by 10. And so we're going to do a job Monday that's got one of them on it. And we didn't really know it. So we go in there and we go and look at the doors or whatever, and one of them's a full. He said, "Well, they're glass." And me and Travis really both same time thought, "Man, great." And so we go out there and it ends up, it's got one big glass door, then the other one. So I'm looking at Travis and I told Travis, I said, "That's just half the trouble. It got cut in half." But you know what? You got to praise God with the hard ones, right? Don't complain. Don't complain about that, because I've seen people complain about chicken around here. And we got chicken. I mean, we were getting chicken. I mean, a lot of chicken. And everybody started getting tired of chicken. That's what happened to them in the wilderness, right? They started complaining about that chicken. And I told them, don't complain about what God's given us down here. I said, because you know what? He can cut it off. They wouldn't quit complaining about it. Heard it there for 2 or 3 months. And he cut the chicken off, and we ain't got no chicken since. And I mean, we was buying freezers, man. We was having to buy freezers and put all that chicken in them freezers. Hallelujah. And I told the Lord, I said, "Well, they got what they wanted. No more chicken, praise God, hallelujah." And then about a month or two, "We going to get any more chicken? Y'all got us cut off."
"We didn't do nothing. We didn't."
Y'all stop complaining. Lady called complaining about she got one mayonnaise and another one didn't. I told her, I said, "What you need to do," I said, "is give your box away."
"Give it away. I need that food."
She's griping about y'all like y'all packed it out. She don't know nothing down here. So I told her, I said, "Well, you know what? You need to be thankful God give you a box and quit comparing apples. Don't call your neighbor over there and say, 'What'd you get in yours?' I'm just laying it out. Crackers, I got the same. I didn't get no mayonnaise and pickles." I'm thinking, geez, man. Well, you know what? I ain't seen that lady in a long time. I think her ride, she can't get a ride no more. Somebody was bringing her over here. God was supplying for her. He said he'd supply her needs, right? Supplying her a car. They probably got so tired of hearing her gripe about that that they quit. "We ain't coming to get you." I don't know. I'm speculating. But see, God, you know, God, but see, that's what God does. God takes his word when we plant it in our hearts and all of that, and gives us opportunity to put it first place, final authority, he begins to root out all of that rebellion, all of that fear, all of that anxiety, all of that got to have it my way. He begins to root all of that out, and then we will be fulfilled. No matter where we're, that's why Paul was in prison. He was free in prison. I mean, I'm sure that's not where he wanted to be. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mean, they're so free in the Lord because they're, I believe, you know, they put God first till they said, we're going in the furnace. We're not bowing. See, we're not going to bow to fear. Fear is not supposed to be tolerated in your life. Whether it's weather or whether it's driving on the road, you're afraid you'll get hit head on. No, you've got angels encamped around about you. Talk to the Lord when you leave and say, thank you, Lord, today I'm protected. I've got your angels, God. God, you'll cause. And then fear has to begin to leave. But if you don't, you can sit there and imagine, oh, I'm not going nowhere today. Oh, my God, the way these people drive. They're liable just to come over in your lane in reality. On their cell phone, talking, texting, looking, come across and hit you head on. Well, if you dwell on that stuff, you know what you're going to get full of? Fear. You're going to get slapped full of fear. And that fear is going to torment you. And it's not going to just affect you in your driving. It's going to move over in the other areas. The Bible says a little leaven the whole lump. It's going to move over into other areas, praise God. Do you feel defeated? What does God's Word say about you? I mean, I wrote that down. I felt like the Holy Spirit, he said, I'm going to bring understanding tonight to some. He said, I don't know if it's here, you know, or what, whatever. He said, I'm going to bring understanding tonight how to simply take my word and defeat that. Jesus did it in Luke 4. When he came up against Satan, he used the Word of God. He pulled out the sword of the Spirit. He knew the Word of God, the Old Testament. He knew it. He read it. He, you know, I mean, he'd been to the synagogue. He went to church his whole life, I reckon. And so he knew the Word of God. And then when it come time, he just whooped it out and said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And he'd come back and say, Satan can't do nothing with that. The Bible says he left him for a more opportune time. Well, the temptation was over, right? He wouldn't yield. He used the Word of God, and Satan he's got nothing else he can use. So he just had to leave, praise God. Well, do you feel defeated? God's Word says you're more. Romans 8, 37 and 38, I think. It says 38, 39. It says, nay, we are more than conquerors. It don't say you have to feel like it. The Bible says you. So when you feel defeated, get up off of your couch, get up out of your car, get your praise on, and begin to say, I'm more than a conqueror. Glory to God. I might feel this defeated, but I am not defeated. I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. When you begin to saying that stuff, you begin to drive that feeling out. You begin to drive it out. See, you drive things. You drive the enemy away from you. Or you just invite him to come on. That complaining invites him. Complaining invites him. Every one of us has 100,000 reasons a week to complain. Complain about our kids. I could complain about my grandkids if I wanted to. I could. I mean, they don't do nothing wrong out the house that I know of, but I still could complain. Oh, here comes them grandkids. My goodness, I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to I have before, I mean, ever since Aubrey has been born, I have made it a point. I think I might have been late 2 times in 10 years, 9 years, going nearly 10 years, you know, late. I made it a point to shut my life off. And although I was busy with that, all kinds of stuff, you know, but on Tuesday, I shut my life down around 4:30, and I tried to be home right at 5 o'clock for my grandbaby at that time. Now for my grandkids at that time, and all of this other stuff pulling on me, making me feel anxious. If you feel overwhelmed and anxious, I got scripture for you. Paul, the Philippians, it says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Give it to God. 1 Peter 5:7, cast it over on the Lord. We all have to do it. I have to do it all the time. I cast all these jobs ready all at one time and people pulling on me. I just shut my mind down and I cast it over on the Lord and I focus in on Him or get busy doing something productive. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Do business. Doing the words, doing business. I mean, that's kingdom business, praise God. So if you feel defeated, I mean, go around confessing, find it in the Bible. I don't know where it's at. I know it. That's why you need to find it. Find it. I know where it's at. Go and find it. Go find it in there. And I mean, just read it. Say Romans 8:37, whatever it is. And then read it. And read it again. Read it till you can shut your Bible and say, glory to God, Romans chapter 8, or whatever it is that you have need of, until you can you can say it without going to the Bible. You know where it's at, you know what it says, and you can slice up your problem. That's what it means, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed anymore. See, sometimes I've had to get sick and tired of being defeated in an area to get up and do something. Sometimes you do, you know, if you get sick and tired, you know, don't quit. I've seen a lot of them quit because they get sick and tired of not doing nothing. Doers get what? Results. They get results. You know? So if you feel defeated, take that. Do things look and seem impossible for you? I got your scripture for you. Luke chapter 4. Verse 23, I think it is. It says, all things are possible to them that believe. All things. So if you're feeling, if things look impossible, things look like they'll never turn around, things look like they're never going to end, well then get your scripture out. Get that scripture out, and I mean use it every day. Take it out every day. And I mean come against that thing. And say, Lord, because I believe, all this is possible, God, because I'm believing you and I praise you right now for it, Lord. I thank you that no weapons formed again. I mean, you got to do this stuff. I mean, you can know it up here and come to church and get all excited and all that. But God wants you marching along getting some kingdom results. He wants me. I have to do it. I'm not perfected in it. I don't know the whole word of God yet. I don't know what I don't know. I don't got the answer for everything, you know, yet. You know? And so, does thing after thing happen? I'm telling you, the last month, I felt like if it ain't one thing, it's another. My tractors break down. People ain't coming to church. I'm trying to build a business and things ain't working out. I want to prosper in that and everything's breaking down. You know, and then you make plans at church. You believe, you call them in. You ask for laborers, all of that, and then they come up thinner. That's normal. Did you hear me? I didn't say I like it. I said, but that's normal. Because Satan is going to attack what I'm believing. He's going to come against what you are believing. And God is going to get, and it's going to cause you to have to come up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you come up, that you grow up, that you come up. Don't worry, don't be too overly concerned about growing. Just do it. Because it comes with doing it. You develop as you do it. You know? And Does it seem like and feel like you are under demonic pressure? Yeah, that devil. Now, if you're just devil-minded, he's all the time going to do it to you. But I'm not talking about that. He's always trying to trick you, and then God gives you rest and all that. I'm talking about, you know, demonic, real demonic warfare. It's real simple. I'm talking about, you know, demonic warfare against demonic warfare is not hard. Satan, I'm telling you, Satan. I've heard people, Satan. And I'd say, where's God? Where's God? Is he here? Is he with you? Where's he at? I hear you talking about and magnifying Satan, all he's doing and all he's trying to do and trying to destroy and blah, blah, blah. I said, he's talking to you. He's giving you thoughts and you're having feelings and emotions. You're yielding to fear. I told one of them one time, I said, the very thing that Job feared came on him. Brought it into his, that's a negative faith. Fear is a negative faith. It's a dark side faith. I mean, it's, you know, it's tormenting. No, it's paralyzing. And some, I don't fear nothing. I don't fear nothing in their mind. And then something happens, and then, oh, I'm just afraid. I thought you didn't fear nothing. Right? Don't fool yourself. If you see your fear, you're fearful of things. Fearful of driving. I mean, I did for a lot of years. Travis chauffeurs me around now. Bless God, it's his turn. You know, I just ride over and do what I want to, you know. Praise the Lord. But I drove for years, you know, out in people crazy especially. I mean, Blountsville ain't very big, but you go drive in Birmingham and you go drive up yonder in Gadsden and you go drive, Gunnersville and different places like that, Abbottville. You got to get in with the flow of them because they're all just flowing one way. And whew, so when you pull out, you just flow with them. You just drift in, drift out, and they're about that far from you. But you ain't jerking. You just, and everybody's used to that. They'll just let you drift, and you just go. You're drifters. I'm not afraid to drive is all I'm saying. Hallelujah. You know, and you got to work on that. I got to work on that, praise God. I mean, you can get afraid there's not going to be enough food because we got millions over here and the food's running out. Listen to the media and go to packing up and getting in fear and all of that. Or they're going to come in and break in your house because there's all of these drug cartels and all of that stuff. And they're here and they're filtrating on down. And it's a reality, you know, and they're dangerous people and all of that stuff. But at the same time, you don't tolerate fear. I've actually thought before, man, we need to lock that door, man, because I don't carry a gun or nothing. And I mean, they come through the church with a, we got Mac now. I say, Mac, that way. Oh, I know. It ain't going to happen. And then I cast that thing off and say, nope, glory to God. We got the angels of God watching over us. We got the angels. We got your protection, God. And then I seen one guy come in, try to shoot Pastor John Hagee. You know, he come in, tried to shoot him. Bam! And then bullets went around him. Woo! Bam! Woo! Woo! And I'm like, wow! He must be a mighty man of faith. He must be. But he wasn't. He was a servant of the Most High. He was a servant of the Most High. He believed God would supply. Wasn't no jobs back down there when he was a teenager. God told him to go down to this place. Went down there. We don't need nobody. He said, I left. He said, I'm going to go back tomorrow and give him another chance. He went back to the same place. I need a job. I'll do whatever, you know. He said, we don't need nobody. He went the third time. Hallelujah. And they said, well, gosh, he ain't going to leave us alone. Put him to work. Got a job when nobody could get a job. Believing God. He was believing God and God told him what to do. You know what? He had somehow, somewhere put God's word first place. He had put God faithful. He had done that faithful or something, praise God. God's word is part of our weapons to stand against the devil. And to cause things in the natural to work in our favor. Faith does that. Speak to that mountain. Jesus said, be moved from here to there. Anger, you know, whatever it may be, sickness and disease. I'm not going it attacks me, but I'm not going to stay sick. I'm not going to be, I ain't got time for sickness. Somebody asked me one time, he said, well, if you didn't have no sickness, why would you have that heart attack? I said, I wouldn't quit eating that junk the doctor told me not to be eating. I said, the doctor told me back down there in my 30s to take this little cholesterol pill, whatever it was. I said, and it made me sick in my stomach, and I thought, I ain't taking that junk, you know. I said, and all them, I said, God did his part. See, the children of Israel, if God did his part. All he needed them to do was believe. So I told that person, I said, don't compare my faith to that. I said, that has nothing to do. What happens to this body has nothing to do with that heart attack and all of that, and that surgery. I said, but my faith in God brought me through and canceled $130,000 worth of bills for me right quick and helped me quickly to pay off the rest of the $17,000 and then the $3,000 ambulance bill. Faith! Well, the enemy would like to come to me, boy, if you'd have had faith. So I couldn't believe for all that stuff. So you don't believe based on what you experience or what's going on or how you feel. You just rise up and you take God's word, just like God said too. He said, meditate on it day and night, told Joshua. Then you'll overcome fear. Then you'll overcome all them ites and them Jebusites. Then you'll overcome all of that stuff, he told Joshua. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll be successful. Did you know we have an anointing to succeed? We're anointed to succeed. We're favored by God to be successful. That's what the blessing is. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing says, if you study the whole thing out, it says an empowerment from God to succeed, to be successful in everything that we endeavor to do, praise God. So thank God we're not complaining. We're out of that chapter. We come out of that chapter, boy. Now we're over into the faith thing now. He's over into take the word and move. He's like, take it and move, you know. So don't take the word lightly tonight. Start tonight. Start tomorrow, you know. And you know, put that word in your eyes, praise God. I did it on poverty and stuff. And I'm telling you right now, it makes you rich and you ain't got a dime. I mean, you feel it on in. You're like, oh, glory God, it's just a matter of time, devil. It's just a matter of time. Told that guy, and I prayed for him in the shower that worked for me. You know, he's just all confused about things of God. He went to church, and I asked him, I said, have you ever been saved? Well, I mean, I got baptized down. I went, dang it. I said, no, you're saved, you know. He don't know why. So I said, you know, have you ever acknowledged that Jesus died on the cross for you? Have you ever asked him because of that sacrifice? And he never did that, you know. He never did that. And he said, that's not for me. That won't happen, never. I said, oh, yes, it will. I said, and when it does, you're going to go telling everybody, oh, let's go to church. It's just happening. I said, that's what happened to me. I said, I got saved. I said, man, that's the best thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. I said, all I could think about was Jesus. I said, yes, it is. Because he don't know, I'm believing for him. I would have made a wager with Travis. I said, I'll get him in church. We'll get him to make a bet. Nah, I better not. I'm after him. I'm not going to let him go. Hallelujah. I was in the shower and I said, glory to God. See, now that could discourage me. Nah, it's not for me. This won't never happen for me. All of that, that's blah, blah, blah. According to this. He would that none should perish. I know that's his will. And he's going to get saved and y'all going to pray with me about it and stand in agreement with him, praise God. It looks impossible, but the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we just thank you, Father. We thank